Hey guys, Colby here. Check out my new project, Brushing 'Em Back with Colby White, currently on Anchor.fm and Spotify. Coming soon to anywhere you catch podcasts. This podcast is an open discussion about not just the game of baseball, but the avenues taken by so many to achieve the highest level of success in the sport. Each episode will feature a guest commentator that will provide his or her perspective and or life experiences concerning the topic of the day. We're trying to provide a new, fresh look at a classic game. Hey guys, Colby here. As my journey continues, people tell me as I battle on the mound, it's really a game that's purely mental. But I understand that the physical well-being is equally important. Mike and Christy Johnson of our title sponsor, the clinic at Farmers Med Shop, in my hometown of Foxworth, Mississippi, echo the same sentiment. When you're looking for the answer for all your health needs, call or stop by and let Mike and his wonderful staff help you be the best you can be.
All right, everybody, glad to have you back for another show today. Track Colby down, and Colby was fortunate enough to run into an absolute living legend. I'm going to turn it over to him at this point to let him know who our guest is today. Colby, don't talk him up too much now, even though he is a national champion.
All right, well, first thing about him is obviously he's a very good person, good man. He's been a great resource for a lot of young guys like me throughout their baseball careers outside of coaching. And then he's a really good motivator at pushing people. And like you said, national champion. But a lot has led up to that. And it's going to be exciting to hear him say, you know, kind of tell his story and what all has contributed to this. So what do you say we jump into it?
Sounds like a winner to me.
It's Coach Michael Avalon.
Yeah, well, thank y'all for having me, and guys, I'm excited to talk with y'all today and share our story here at Pearl River and how great this year and the last few, I guess 6 years have been for us here. So excited to talk baseball and talk a little life while we're at it.
Well, Coach, I personally am glad to have you on. Kind of been following the journey. Even though I was a Southwest Bear, I was rooting for the Pearl River Wildcats to win it all this year.
Well, thank you for that. You know, that was one of the things that was pretty special during our run is, you know, obviously we have a lot of competitors in the state with 15 junior colleges, but I can't tell you the number of coaches and fans and players from other teams that reached out, whether it was through a text message or through Twitter, and wished us well. And our guys knew we were going out there, obviously to win for Pearl River, but also to represent the state of Mississippi. I think our guys did an incredible job of that. But it helped to hear those well wishes from even some of our, guys we compete against every day.
All right, Colby, go ahead and jump on. I know you and him want to run down memory lane, so y'all go ahead and get started.
The thing that a lot of people start thinking about when you start seeing a really good coach and a really good program is, how did that guy get to that point? You know, I remember a couple years ago, Jones had their runs, and then now Pearl River's obviously taken over it. And I was very thankful to be, associated with Pearl River. But and then after I left, obviously, it took a whole other level. But where did you first start wanting to coach at? Where did you get that from?
Well, yeah, first, the credit has to go to my dad, Billy Avalon. I grew up, he was a teacher and a coach, when I was a little kid, and he actually coached basketball. And I tell people, some people are surprised by this, that I didn't actually start playing baseball, especially organized baseball, until 11, 12 years old. I grew up in the gym going to practice with my dad. He coached at St. Joe High School in Jackson. He coached men's and women's basketball, and so that's where I guess my love for basketball came from. And then I realized, I wasn't going to be the tallest guy in the world, and I'm kind of, I've got some weight on me, so I knew basketball probably wasn't going to be my best fit as far as the sport to try to play in college. Even though I thought I could shoot pretty well, I just couldn't move fast enough, I don't guess. But my dad let me pick up the game of baseball and helped me there. Actually coached our first little team together. I did that and watched him coach all throughout my young years. And one thing he told me, he didn't want me to coach. He wanted me to go into something else. He wanted me to be a lawyer and go make some money and do something different besides coaching. And I actually went to college. I got a degree from Holmes and University of West Alabama. I got a business administration degree and didn't plan on coaching. But when I got towards the end of my senior year and just realized how much I was going to miss the game, I knew, you know, I knew I wouldn't just wasn't ready to give it up. And so Coach Neil Holloman, who was the assistant coach at West Alabama at the time, he's now the head coach at East Central Community College. After my senior year, he offered me the opportunity with Coach Rundles, the head coach, offered me the opportunity to stay on as a graduate assistant at University of West Alabama and help with the pitching. And so I agreed to do that just again because I couldn't give up. I just couldn't give up the game. It felt like I had to be around, and I felt like coaching was kind of in my blood. And again, credit to my dad for that. So I stayed on there at East Central, making $240 a month as a graduate assistant. And then I did that for 2 years. And then I went on. Coach Holloman got the head coaching job at East Central Community College. Asked me to go with him and be his pitching coach. Then I jumped at, you know, at that opportunity. We went over to East Central. Our first year, we won a state championship after being 12-19 during the year. We got hot and won a state championship there. I stayed with him for 5 years at East Central, and then I got the opportunity to apply for the Mississippi Delta Community College head coaching position. And I tell people I got that job because not many people wanted it at the time. You know, they had struggled. I think they won 7 games the year before. But I knew, heck, if I wanted to be a head coach at the junior college level, you obviously have to take, walk through the doors that are open for you. And I just felt like it was, you know, the right move. My wife, Kayla, trusted me to, you know, pick our family up and move to the Delta. We stayed there 5 years, had some success. And then the Pearl River job came open 5 years in. And, that's what got us here to Poplarville.
Well, before, and I know Kobe will get to this eventually, so I'm jumping the gun on this because this is a curiosity question of mine. You build championship teams with arms or bats?
Well, national champions with both. I tell everybody, it definitely starts on the mound. If you're good on the mound, you've got a chance to be good. If you're bad on the mound, you got no chance to be good. You know, the mound is one of those things that just guys on the bump just make such a difference, you know, because they control so much of the game. So the first place you want to be good is you just got to be able to pitch. You got to throw strikes. You got to compete because that gets you a chance no matter what. If you can stop them from scoring runs, then you've got a chance. But if you can't stop them from scoring runs, you know, you've got to score a bunch, and that's just really, really tough to do. But, you know, one of the things that we try to do is be very, very balanced. But no question, when you ask that question, one of the things that comes to mind since we've been at Pearl River, I think that's where we've been able to separate ourselves a little bit. It's just our depth on the mound. That's the first thing we are always going to locate in recruiting is arms. Because with understanding that if we're good there, we've got a chance to compete at any level. And so that's why we always start there. So I guess the answer to that question is, you know, I guess the mound is the most important for sure.
Yeah, Kobe, would you agree with that summation? Kobe knows why I asked that question.
Yeah, I agree with it, yeah, for sure.
Kobe, just out of curiosity, hey, remind the listeners how much you weighed when you got to PRC.
Man, I was about 150 pounds.
Yeah.
Pokey wet.
Yeah. A whole lot changed, so. Yeah, that was the thing about it is like those kids going in there, that's the thing. They're just not – obviously they're getting very talented pitchers, but they're getting a whole lot better while they're there. That's the cool thing to see is what a kid looks like 2 years down the road, you know. And
you know, one of the cool little stories I tell folks about our weight room is back in 2019 when we went to the World Series. When you first get there, they give you a high school field to go practice at and, you know, take ground balls, hit a little BP, just kind of get your feet under you. And so we rolled in there at Chisholm High School in Enid, Oklahoma, and we were working out. They had an indoor set up for us, and, you know, you have time slots, so you only had like an hour and 15 minutes to practice. And so we went through our practice, through our bullpens and stuff that we needed to do. And we got ready to finish up, and the coach came up to me and he said, well, man, I appreciate you coming, you know, appreciate y'all working out here. I said, well, thanks for having us. I said, I got one question. I said, do y'all have a weight room? And he said, yeah, we got a weight room. And I said, do you mind if we get in there and lift? And he said, so you want to lift weights while you're at the World Series? And I said, well, one of our goals as a program is we want to be stronger, as strong at the end of the year, you know, compared to, you know, the middle of the year, the beginning of the spring. We don't want to lose strength throughout the year. So we lift hard all the way through the spring season. We go 3 days a week throughout the year. And the guy told me, he said, you're one of the first teams that's ever lifted weights after a practice here, practicing for the World Series. And I said, well, that's just a mindset that we have. It's a mentality that we have that we're going to get after it. We're going to push it. We understand. That's one thing we talk about in recruiting is how important our weight room is. It's different. Kobe will tell you that. It's up-tempo. It's fast. It's athletic. But there's no doubt that's one of the things also. We talk about our pitching depth being one, but the other thing that I think has separated us is our physicality, and that comes from the weight room and just selling out to it, believing in it. And so that's one of the most important things we do in our program.
Kobe, that sounds like the same speech you give every time you talk about PRC. He must have drilled that in pretty good. He's a pretty good drill sergeant, sounds like.
Man, my whole life changed down there. That was the thing about it is, and what's cool is continuing to see kids have the same thing happen. You look at all the signees they got this year and last year and the year prior. It's pretty special when you get a bunch of kids in that area to go to Pearl River and then just see them compete because – That's what's ingrained in them. And then you finally win a national championship and you sit there and think, man, you've been thinking about that for years. When's it going to happen? But, I mean, it all ties together, which is that's what's really cool about this whole thing, you know.
Who trusted it. And there was days in that weight room early on, I could think back to Kobe White and think, he probably thought at some point, what in the world are we doing? Why are we doing this? But, you know, those guys bought in. They believed in us. They worked. We pushed them, and, you know, they responded. But, you know, one of the cool things about our program, you know, Kobe was here my first year. And, you know, there were some guys that were here that were sophomores, that were returners. When we knew that coming in, this is going to be totally different than what they're used to. And so there were those growing pains that you had where they had to make adjustments, which credit to that group, those sophomores, Parker Dungan and that crew, they were anxious to buy in. They wanted to buy in. They wanted something different, and they believed in it. But the point I want to make about that is when you're building a program and you're doing things like that, now that's expected in the weight room. You know, I mentioned it to recruits this summer that are coming in and, you know, guys that are going to be freshmen. I said, hey, you better make sure you're taking care of it in the weight room. It's going to be, coach, we know we've already talked to the guys and we're getting after it. And so that's what's special as a head coach when you see that, you know, that expectation to change and they know coming in that, hey, we're going to get after it in the weight room. We're going to push it. But they understand why, because they see guys like Kobe White. They see guys like Mo Landry. And those guys go on and play professional baseball, and they know, hey, this is why we do those things. And now they see that we were fortunate to win a national championship, and they understand that, hey, this is why we push it so hard. This is why we work so hard, because this is what happens if you do it.
And to add to that, this is kind of a thing that pops up in my mind all the time. You're talking about the first fall when you got there. I'll never forget sitting inside the locker room after a day and thinking to myself, I don't know if I'm built for this, because it was so hard. And then months go by, and I'm like, man, I'm so glad I was built for this, because I realized, man, that was the hardest fall I've ever had in my entire life, but that was the funnest time ever at the same time, just because I knew and everybody knew that they were getting a lot better. And that's the cool thing. When kids decide to not go Division I and they go to Pearl River, I feel like they have to understand, hey, this coaching staff cares that we get better. It's not like I'm going to some big D1 or any Division I, and not saying all of them are like this, but the vast majority are, and saying, hey, I'm just better be better than the other guy. But instead, it's like, hey, we're gonna all get better here, and whoever's best at that time is gonna play. And you know, and that's pretty special when you look on Twitter and such decommitted from a Division One. He trusts in Pearl River that much, and it just shows how it's spreading, and it ain't stopping either. That's what's cool.
Yeah, that's, you know, you remind me, and that's, you know, that's one of the proud head coach moments when I hear you say that, because, you know, as a coach, our job is tough, and it's to push guys, you know, it's to push guys further and harder than what they've been pushed before, and that's the tough part of coaching. That's one of the, you know, the things where we have to try to have feel, and we've got to, you know, understand that each kid's different, and, you know, there was times maybe I pushed Colby and would go by, you know, that day, you know, that night at the homeroom and check in on him, because I knew, hey, I pushed him pretty hard today, and I know he struggled a little bit, and just using Colby as an example, there weren't many days, you know, Colby says it was tough, there weren't many days that Colby White struggled for us too much, because once he got going about a month in, he was an animal, and I'm not saying that just because he's on the phone with me, but he was a tough son of a gun and got after and was wide open. We'd always look at Colby, you know, for a guy that was doing it right and pushing himself. But in the recruiting process, one of the things we tell guys all the time is that we're going to push you. We're going to demand from you. You know, we're gonna make it tough at times. There's going to be days, you know, I always say this to them, there's going to be days they walk off the baseball field and they may not be happy with me or I may not be happy with them. But what's important is that they know that that I believe in them, I care about them, and I love them. And I think, you know, I hope those guys know that. I think they do. I think they walk away from this program knowing, man, that was tough. And I also say this, we want it to be tough, but one of the most important things about our program here at Pearl River is that we want you to enjoy being a part of it. We want guys to leave here and think, man, that was fun. And I think you can be tough. You can work hard. You can get after guys. You can have disagreements. You can have tough times. But they can look back and enjoy their two years or so with us. And, you know, that's when we hear a guy leave and he says, man, I wish Pearl River was a four-year school. There's no better compliment that we can get. And fortunately, we've had some really good players and from good families, and we've heard that several times over the years, that, hey, I wish Pearl River was a four-year school.
Coach, there is a nasty rumor that I need to touch on to see exactly what your thoughts are. Would you consider, first of all, you're a player's coach from everything I'm hearing, and I'm also been told that you're a pretty impressive recruiter. Now, are you the best recruiter in the room, or are your former players that have played for you the best recruiters in the room for you?
I'll answer this a couple of ways. One, the most honest answer I can get, one of the reasons we have so much success here at Pearl River in recruiting is just this place is different. And if you ever get to experience it, if you ever get to come on campus, you get to see our facilities, you know, you meet people from our administration, other coaches, athletes and other programs, you'll just know real quick that this place is just different. I've been at, you know, I coached at Mississippi Delta, East Central. My dad worked at Hines, so I knew a lot about Hines. I played at home. So four or five out of the state, out of the 15, I've had some association with. And there's no doubt that Pearl River just kind of separates itself from that. I'm biased, but most of the people that come through this place will tell you the same thing. But no question, you know, our best recruiters are guys that played in our program. And that's one thing we tell people when we recruit them, you know, during visits. Hey, if you know somebody that played here, you know, go ask them. Go ask them what they think. Go ask them how the coaches are, because we want them, and we say this to every recruit, we want people that want to be here, that want to be coached by us. If you don't want to be here and you don't want to be coached by us and a part of what we're doing, then we don't want you. I know that may sound a little upfront, but it's the truth. If you don't want to be at Pearl River, if you don't want to be a part of our program, you don't want to play with these guys that are in our, you know, in our system, in our program, then we want you to go somewhere else, because you're not going to be happy being somewhere you don't want to be, first off. And so, but no question, guys like Colby White and all the other guys that played here, they are no doubt some of our best recruiters.
Coach, I don't know if you know this or not, but the fellow we're on the phone with, Colby White, he's quite a bit of a, well, he's a superstar, but he's also a social media magnet. I mean, this guy, social media, just, he's got followers for days. So when it comes to recruiting, in the social media age, because you've been doing this for a while, and as social media becomes more prevalent to an athlete's life, is it getting easier or harder for you to be able to recruit?
Well, I think social media does some good things, obviously. First off, with Pearl River, with our marketing department, they've done a phenomenal job of getting our brand, if you want to call it that, out there to where people know about us. It can really help you in recruiting, especially nationally. But you take me for an example. I was from Jackson, Mississippi. I played at Holmes. I had never heard of Pearl River. Now I know social media has changed, obviously, in the last, I guess it's been 23 or 22 years since I'm talking about this. But because there was no social media at that time, I didn't really know anything about Pearl River. So I didn't know that was an option. Well, we came down here in 2002 when I was a player at Holmes and played in the regional with Coach Artigues, and those guys were number one in the country. And I remember walking in the gate thinking, man, this place is totally different. The atmosphere here is like nothing I've ever, seen. And I remember then, if I ever get a chance to coach junior college baseball, Pearl River's where I want to be. It was just something different about it. Well, I didn't know anything about it because there was no social media. Well, nowadays, luckily, we're able to get ourselves out there. People know more about Pearl River because it's, you see it on Twitter, you see it on Facebook, you see it on Instagram. All those different outlets. So that's the big, benefit of it. I guess one of the negatives to social media is just how recruiting can be affected. This guy got this offer. Well, this guy, everybody puts their offers out there, and they want everybody to know, hey, this is who all's offered me. So that kind of creates some headaches for us sometimes. But without a doubt, I do think the social media has helped recruiting. It's helped kids, be seen where they may not have without social media. Some guy over at West Marion may not be found out about because all these outlets aren't out there, and he obviously gets seen by more college coaches, especially at higher levels, than he would have in the past.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I just think if you'd have missed on Kobe White, man, I tell you.
Well, and I use that as an example, and which Colby, as he mentioned, Colby hadn't matured like he did throughout college, but you don't find many guys that are hidden anymore like you used to. You can't hide a guy out in Columbia, Mississippi, or Purvis High School, or because of social media, these kids are being blasted all across the country, which is a good thing for the kid. The only negative for us sometimes is when we do get a kid committed or we offer a kid, then everybody knows about it, and then you just have to go through the tough part of that kid wanting to go to multiple visits, and the process becomes a little longer. And now you look at the transfer portal, which is a whole nother crazy topic, to where you're having to recruit kids even after they sign or they played a year for you, got to re-recruit them to stay. It just the recruiting process has gotten faster, and it's gotten so much longer as well.
Kobe, that transfer portal he's talking about, he and I were talking about that the other day. That's just free agency for amateur athletics now.
And giving them money about it.
Yeah, and it's just, I have my thoughts on that, personal opinions on it, and that's one thing as a college coach. Sometimes you have to be careful what you say, but you just hate to see, guys sign, maybe that was the only school that wanted them out of high school or out of junior college even. And then they go to that four-year school and they do well. And then they have to, then those guys end up losing them that believed in them. And at the same time, I can't say, I don't understand the player side of it, or I can't say that I don't understand it because I do somewhat. When you can go to these big SEC schools, you can go to LSU, and you hear about all this money and stuff that they're going to get, and their draft stock goes up. So, it's really hard to figure out what's right, what's wrong. I think it just becomes an individual thing where that individual has to make the best decision for his career and for his family. It's just caused a lot of headaches for us recruiters in the college game, to where this cycle of recruiting never stops. It is 24 hours, 365 days a year.
So, Coach, speaking on that NIL stuff, at the junior college level, is that as much of a bearing on y'all? Like, it's like hypothetically, let's say you're going after a kid. One program has one that they're, you know, that hadn't got a ton of playing time or was a little young and wasn't really developed yet. Do you think that's going to hurt the junior college system a little more, or you think it's going to be about the same?
I think it's going to trickle down to us, you know, as it goes. I will tell you, I've dealt with it some already over the past year or two when that stuff introduced to where, guys may not be signing a scholarship at the four-year level. You know, they may be only getting the NIL money instead of any type of scholarship, instead of any type of bonding agreement. I'd be the first to tell you I don't know enough about it because I don't have to deal with it yet. It's where we're giving out, something besides scholarships here. But could I see that happening in the future? Absolutely. I could see, some junior college getting somebody to sponsor something or however that may work, and then a player, be getting money at a junior college in some way, legally, I'm referring to. And so I'm afraid that's going to happen at our level, but have I noticed it from a recruiting side? Yes, we've had some guys that we were on that we thought we were going to get. Well, then this school comes in and offers them some money besides the scholarship as far as the NIL type stuff from what we understood. And not saying the college coaches offered it, but they figured out a way besides scholarship. So it's just, it's the wild, wild west, I guess, nowadays. So it's just interesting.
All right, Coach, you got a national championship sitting on the mantle at home, or the trophy. They probably don't let you take it home real regular. It's probably in the trophy case at the school. So,
I've been able to sneak it out of the office once or twice.
Well, yeah, on a traveling tour. Yeah, I know how that works. So, have you started writing your book about, the championship mindset, how to build a championship team? Have you started writing the book yet, or is it, close to end publication?
Started the book. I've just tried to enjoy, what a special year this was. And that's one thing that I want to, with Colby on the phone, I want to refer to is I've coached, 11. I guess I've been a head coach for 11 years now, and so that means I've coached 11 different teams. And I think all those teams are different because not every team has the same players. And I don't just say this as cliche. I'm very proud of a lot of teams that I've coached. And you look at Colby's team that freshman year when they came in, and we didn't win a national championship. We didn't win a state championship. But we went over to Jones that year and, made a regional. They were 44-2. And we got to knock them off at their place. Colby threw lights out. I think that's where night-night Colby White came from. He was lights out that night against Jones when they were 44-2, which is hats off to them. That's real impressive in the game of baseball. But we went over there and we won that game. We had a great showing in that regional. We made the regional. There was so much to be proud of. Yeah, that team didn't win a state championship. They didn't win a national championship. But to say I'm any less proud of that team or this team, I'd be the first one to tell you with an honest heart. I'm just as proud of both of those teams. I thought both these teams that I referred to maximized their potential. I knew this year with the group that we had a chance, to win a national championship. We were really good on the mound. We were very good defensively, and we could score runs in a bunch of ways. And if you can do those three things, obviously you've got a chance to play at a high level and win. Colby will tell you the team that he played on wasn't near as talented as this team, but that team was special. Again, it maximized, I felt like, what it could do. So that's one of those things where you talk about a championship. Very proud of this year, but I go back to that first year and other teams that didn't win a championship, even at Mississippi Delta. And I'm just as proud as those guys because each year is different, and what they're capable of is always different. So we just want to get the best and do the best we can. And I've been fortunate to be a part of a lot of teams that did that.
I know you stay in touch with Colby because, of course, we're on the phone with you right now. But do you try your best to stay in touch with a lot of your former players?
Absolutely. That's something that's special to me. That's I think, is if as coaches, we say we care more about winning you know, that's, I think we have to live that. And I think you live that when you check in with guys, you know, guys that had arm surgery years after they're gone, was speaking of Colby, and just to check in on him and say, you know, how's your arm? How's it going? You know, guys get married, try to go to their weddings if you can. You know, a lot of weddings are in the spring, so I miss a lot of those. But when I get a chance to go to a wedding, you know, I want to be there because I want to be that guy that said, hey, I want to be more than just – I care more about just how you do on the baseball field. And so staying in touch, you talk about social media. That's another way it's really helped with Facebook and Twitter and those things where you see what's going on in those guys' lives. So it's a lot easier now, you know, nowadays to stay in touch in some shape, form. And so, you know, love to hear from past guys, love for them to stop by the field. That's one of the special moments as a player that you have is down the road when they drop back in and, you know, visit with you. So without a doubt, you know, do my best to stay in touch. Obviously could do better with three kids and my wife. Things are rocking and rolling all the time. There are no breaks, but yes, I do try to do my best to stay in touch.
Side note, if anybody has the chance to go see this field in Pompaville, Mississippi, they better go see it. Man, they got a jumbotron, turf field, suites at the stadium. So I mean, that's just a little random thing to throw out there. If anybody listens to this. Way in between Jones and Pearl River, just go ahead.
Coach, I'm gonna tell you, I don't know how much y'all paying Kobe, but every chance he gets, he brags about the facilities at PRC like there's no tomorrow. And this is a guy that actually played at Duty Noble in Starkville, and he still brags about the one at PRC.
Yeah, well, it, you know, guys like him help build what it is today, and you know, they took pride in it. That's one of the things that we ask them is take pride in everything. You know, they helped do little crazy fundraisers at different times and, you know, used to rake, you know, he had to rake the dirt and fix the game mound when he was here. They don't have to do that as much anymore because we've got turf. But I think that's what it takes. I think, you know, we want guys to come here. We don't, you know, I do try to alleviate some of that work from them because we do want them to be treated like they're treated at Mississippi State. This isn't Mississippi State. This is our Mississippi State. That's one thing I always tell. I told Colby and his group that PR on my head or on my chest that I wear means as much to me as it does. Well, I'm honest, we want it to mean as much to them as it does those guys. And so guys like Colby who came in here and they bought into it, they believed in it, and they made it their own. That's what makes it special. And I think our community around here, Picayune, Hattiesburg area, there's just so many people that care about Pearl River and have jumped in and helped make this place special. And we still got another suite going up. Dr. Riser out of Picayune is putting the Riser family suite up down our first base line. So we're going to have more. We're going to put a new fence. We're trying to get new lights, LED lights this summer. That's another thing, me personally as a coach, I feel like if you ever stop working, you get stagnant, you get still. My dad taught me a long time ago, it's tough to get on top, but it's even tougher to stay there. And so we're going to keep working just like we always have. May even work a little harder because we enjoy, you know, winning, and we want to try to do our best to stay there.
Hey, Kobe, I know you had quite a few moments with the coach there when you were there. And the listeners would love to hear you share like one of those moments. You know, it ain't got to be that long. Just one of those moments when it clicked, when you knew that you and Coach were going to always be connected forever. And I'm going to give you just a minute to think on that because I have one quick question I want to ask him. He can answer it, and I'd give you a chance to formulate your story. Coach, what about since you're a national champion now, has the pipeline of the high school play, you know, the coaches, has it opened up more? I mean, I know you built relationships with high school coaches, you know, in a lot of different places, but have you seen more coaches contacting you guys at this point now that you guys are national champs?
Well, I think the biggest thing we've helped ourselves with the national champs is on the national level. You know, when you become a national champion, it can open some doors and, you know, out-of-staters and stuff like that. But, you know, because we only get 4 out-of-staters currently. But they're very important pieces of what we do. So, you know, this summer we contacted some guys maybe in Georgia or Texas or even Boston. And because of the national championship, they've obviously heard of Pearl River, or they saw that they won a national championship, and so that obviously, you know, gives us immediate credit to where we may not have had that in the past. They go, who the heck's Pearl River? But one thing that we always try to do from a recruiting standpoint, we're always going to start close to home. You look at this Pine Belt area that we're in, I think it's baseball is anywhere in the country when you look at per population. You know, they're all really good players, and I'm always going to be a guy in our program to say, hey, we're going to start as close to home as we can, because you talk about people like Colby White from Marion County who knew Pearl River, and they came in, and it was close to home, and it was home. And so, to me, those guys take a little more pride in it maybe than somebody from, say, Boston who knows nothing about Pearl River. So we are lucky to be in a very good area for recruiting that's very, very good, very, very rich, with good high school programs, great high school coaches, and great players. And so we want to make sure that we do a good job of recruiting close to home and then expand out from there.
That was what I was expecting. I was expecting that you were going to pick up a few what I call fringe players from different places because of it. Kobe, you got a moment with the coach that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah. So first time I met Coach Avey during the summer, going into my freshman year, obviously he just got the job, but just a random thing I remember is we had this meeting and he talked and introduced coaching staff. We had a brand new coaching staff and all, and I remember when a meeting got done, he was standing by the door and was talking, you know, he made sure he spoke to every player. And that, you know, that was, I know he don't even remember that, but I was sitting there thinking, I was like, okay, this guy here don't know any of us and is making sure he speaks to all of us, you know, whether it be, you know, a little small talk or whatever. And then get on campus and just see how day to day there was always a goal. And it was always a plan, seemed like, for each individual player. And that's what was so cool. And then even after after my time was done at Pearl River, I remember my exit meeting, him telling me, go to state and go to work and prove yourself and then get to the big leagues. And just every step throughout the way, what's been awesome is like getting on with the ball game and getting messages from the head coach at your junior college that just had a game that night or whatever. It's like, man, he's keeping up with me just like if I was still there. And he's got a ton of, like you mentioned earlier, he's got three kids, a family, and then to sack on all kind of stuff. And like he was talking about the relationships, it's a really good thing and a really cool feeling knowing that, especially even after arm surgery, checking up on me, like you mentioned. But it's just a cool thing to be able to tie all that in together. And that's obviously why he's had the success he's had, and just a good person to start with. You know, you can be as good of a coach as you want, but when you're a good person on top of it, this is a Coach Avey quote. I catch myself thinking or telling good Coach Avey quotes all the time, but good things happen to good people. So you look at the national championship, good thing happened to a good person, done it the right way, and it's awesome. But, yeah, that's just a couple little things that come to mind.
Coach, how does that make you feel hearing that? I mean, he's not just bragging on you because you're on the phone. I mean, that sounded pretty sincere.
He knows I'm an emotional person, and hearing him talk and you know, share that is I don't do this to win national championships, and some people say, again, that's cliche, and you just say that it's not, but it's to hear things like that. Mr. Graham said that a coach impacts more people in one year than, you know, any other person, by no means am I perfect, and I tell them that all the time, multiple times, that I'm not. But hearing things like that is why we coach, is why we do what we do, because you want it to, again, you want it to be bigger than winning. And those comments he made are, you know, they humble you and they make you feel pretty special.
Kobe, you got any last words for your former coach and current junior college national champion?
Well, I believe that's it, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. I know you're busy. You got a ton of stuff going on and all, but congrats again on the national championship. Look forward to stay keeping up with everything, and thanks for being on.
Yeah, well, appreciate you.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you being on, brother. I, I'm glad that you took time out of your schedule. You told us before we got started you're actually at the ball field. You can't take 1 minute away from the ball field.
No, I'm sitting here watching a little summer ball and talking baseball, and I've got it made. So
that's right, I got it made.
This is pretty special. But I've enjoyed it, man, going down memory lane with Colby and you know, thinking about those times and, you know, reminiscing even over this championship this year and what we've been able to do in 6 years at Pearl River. I appreciate it. Thank you, Colby, for all the help. Thank you all for having me, and I've enjoyed it.
Hey, Coach, good luck and much success, brother.
Thank you so much.
All right, Colby, looks like we got another one in the books.
Sounds good, man.
All right, man, we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Now a word from our sponsors.
Honesty, integrity, and hard work. These are characteristics that drive me on my journey. The same can be said for Hunter Forbes and his crew. So call or contact Forbes & Son Wood Products, LLC, in Sandy Hook, Mississippi, for all your timber harvesting needs.